Hello and welcome to another episode of Why Press Play. We're here with former MMA cage fighter, current comedian, star of stage and screen, big and small, and current castle occupant.
How are you?
Comedian Tom the Bear O'Mani. How are you, Tom?
I'm very good, Gordon. How are you?
Good, good. It's great to have you here, man. We were talking for a long time before recording the show, reminiscing over old days.
There was a point there where I was kind of going, we should probably start.
I was eating up your face. It's a long time since we even talked, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I saw you generally around the place. I was like, there's Tom. But you're a comedian and you've been like hammering gigs out of it for the past while, taking over Dublin Comedy, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose, I don't know if I've taken it quite over, but it seems like I'm doing an awful lot of comedy, all right? An awful lot of gigs.
As long as you're working, man.
Yeah, I can't complain.
How long have you been doing comedy, Tom?
Seven years since May 21st.
Wow.
Yeah. But I just didn't know to do it any other way, because you were even kind of going, good God, are you going at this full throttle when we met at first?
Yeah.
And that's what I thought people did. So I just, that was what I set my brain to.
Like. You saw it like a business, and a lot of people, there's no show without the business.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. A lot of people don't do that. And you are in a couple of different TV shows. If people want to find you online.
Yeah, you can find me. There is stuff online. There's, like, I was in Damo and Ivor. That's kind of the one a lot of people recognize me for.
Yeah.
I was in two series of that.
For our American audience, that's a TV show that started from a sketch. Like, it was kind of like our Saturday Night Live, Republic of Telly, and it was a sketch that kind of got very popular and people bought into it, and it ended up with a movie.
Yeah, the movie's being made.
There's a movie and a couple of different seasons. And what's the guy's name that plays Damo and Ivor?
Andy Quirk.
So Andy plays a kind of a white trash guy and a very kind of posh Dublin Four kind of bro guy.
He ends up with that Lloyd Grossman Mid-Atlantic non-accent. Yeah.
Hi guys.
Absolutely too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great. Sailing. And you're his best mate, Tarquin. Which is far removed from your roots.
This is the thing, like, when I was on set, it was the only thing that I was the only person who wasn't from where they were actually the characters from. So lads were like, in between shots I was doing, you know, well, I was obviously standing there with my on set, but like absolutely toots. But I didn't.
Did you do like a Day-Lewis on it?
Were
you coming home and talking like that to your family, and they're like, "What are you talking about, Tom?"
This is the thing. Other lads that were in it, like, were really even though they were from posh part of Dublin, they were really hamming it up and staying in the ham zone, like. If that's a phrase.
The ham zone.
But like, quite literally, I was coming out going, well, boys, in between, just smoking cigarettes, going, how are you?
And the lead character was doing the same, dropping in and out of, he plays like Eddie Murphy style in The Clumps.
He plays both sides of him. Yeah,
but it's pretty admirable, you know.
It is admirable. And he's been doing, like he said to me himself, and then in the third series, there was a third character popped into it that he played then. He played a traveller, a gypsy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really, really good. But the highlight of the thing for me was actually getting a pat in the back from Rick Mayle. Because Rick Mayle was in series one. He played his father in it.
Awesome.
And we, like,
you got to meet Rick Mayle.
I got to hang out with Rick Mayle for a week.
Brilliant.
It was essentially like an amateur boxer getting to hang out with Muhammad Ali for a week.
I grew up watching Bottom.
Everybody, like, we didn't know. None of us knew. And we were doing a scene in a car where we were chatting, and in between scenes, Andy went, we're after getting Rick Mayle. And I went, what? You're after getting him what? And he goes, no, we got him. I said, we got him.
It's like, fuck, was it you that fixed that quad bike to flip over?
We took him out. We went up at lunch, up to the beacon, and there he was smoking an old fag outside. And this will tell you how touch of class this bloke was. He stood up and went, you must be Tom.
That's class.
I nearly melted into my jocks.
I
swear to God. He could have just, it was a roll of the dice. He could have just learned off a handful of names.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to learn off anything. He was just really cool.
And Tom, you also have a podcast as well.
I do, Buckshot.
Buckshot.
Yeah.
This is based on you had a show, like an hour long
stand-up show. Called Buckshot. And it was, I wanted to start a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, what do I call it?
Mm.
Do I call it An Hour with Tom? And quite literally, I had so much artwork
Musings with the Bear.
Yeah. There was artwork done for Buckshot. And I went, I really like that word.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun word to say, Buckshot.
But you're a gun owner and user. And
yeah. You know. So, Yeah, but you see, you know what buckshot actually is. Yeah, like yeah. Most people don't, but they just go, that's a fun word to say. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a fun word to say. And it's just basically, it was just
is
me.
That that funny wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, so yeah, and now we.
But can, you're like, you're 75 or 80 episodes deep in yeah. this in this thing. So tell us like a bit about the podcast. What's it about?
Mostly it's just people I feel find interesting. And they do, anybody from like fighters to my grandparents. My grandparents are still in their 90s. I had them on it and they were mighty crack.
So it's an interview-based podcast.
Yeah.
Like your career kind of takes like a little bit of a meander. It's not a typical stand-up comedian like treading the boards and hanging out in backstairs. You kind of you looked at it like a business and you went hard, and now you're surrounded basically by very successful and influential people that now you have access to, similar to you just say Jarlett Regan with An Irish Man Abroad, where he's using his contacts to interview these people. So you're kind of reaching out to the people that you know and you have experience with.
That's exactly it. Like quite literally at the, you know, I mean, when I'm gigging and you're sitting backstage with somebody and you know that they'll make a good podcast guest, you're going, would you do my podcast, would you?
Yeah.
And
if I ever left this room, I'd probably meet some people to do that too.
But quite literally, this is how it happens. And I was always surprised. There was only one person said they wouldn't. And it was because he does a continuous character on stage. He went, I'd prefer if I didn't, Tom. Yeah, I'd love to do it. But I was amazed. People were just so open, going, yeah, I like talking to Tom. So let's do it, yeah. And that's what it got. What I get back from people is that it sounds like we're actually having an enjoyable chat.
And that's what they say about those conspiracy guys as well. Yeah. So we're going to get into it. This episode is all about the Mike Judge film, Idiocracy, from 2006. This was your recommendation, Tom?
It was. I couldn't help myself because even when we were talking about what movies, and I was going to go, when I started thinking, it was like, oh, these are very much movies that people would already press play. They don't need to be told.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm finding as the show goes on and the amount of, like, I've recorded a lot of shows. So there's a big backlog, a lot of great guests, right? Mm. And a lot of the movies they pick, I am going, surely people know about that.
Yeah.
And then I go online and do a little bit of research. And I forget all the time that I'm in my mid-30s and there's a whole, like, there's a whole huge 20-year gulf of people who watch movies, who also listen to podcasts, that have never heard of the Monster Squad.
What?
Like, they've never heard of Dream Team with Michael Keaton. Like, these movies that I think are, like, ubiquitous in the canon of movies that people have watched. I make jokes from them. Like, they're in everyday conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're saying your wife... wife? Fiancé?
We are wife, look.
Wife, you got wife, married. Well done. Married. Wife?
Yeah.
Jeez, it's been a long time, Tom.
That's all right.
Your wife, I did say wife first, though. That was pretty good. Your wife makes jokes from movies and you're like, she's the one. Make a joke from
obscure references.
And like, we forget that there's like thousands, if not millions of people that have never seen or wouldn't be like, what are you talking about on, man?
What?
Yeah, Idiocracy is one of those films that has a lot of these kind of little tidbits and stuff that you've seen, and it's only from 2006.
Yeah, so it's not that far back, but it was, I think I stumbled on it one evening, like coming in after a gig or something, and it was on, and it was because it was brightly coloured. I'm going to watch this, and I like going, as we discussed, it was like this weird fascination with your man. Like,
He is. Kind of good looking. I'm not saying like in a
he's got, but do you know
he's
what,
not, he's easy on the eye,
he's attainable too. Yeah. Like if I was that way inclined, not, like I reckon I could chat him up.
He's Luke, he's not, you know, he's
yeah
not,
yeah yeah he's not yeah he's
the
not,
underling,
he's not Rob Lowe mid 90s. Do you know what I mean? He's a poor man's Rob Lowe, though, isn't he? Yeah, like,
he's no Johnny Depp.
No.
So this is Why Press Play. If you want to get in contact with us on Why Press Play, you can get us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Reddit, and all the other social media. Just type in Why Press Play. I got the name for everything. Instagram at the moment is being a pup and they're not letting my name go. So if anyone out there can help me out with the Instagram, if you know anybody there that I can email personally and go, give me back my fucking name. I'd really appreciate it. We also have a Patreon, so thanks to all the guys over on Patreon, including Jonathan, Christine, Paul, and all the rest of you guys. You're really helping out, and the show wouldn't be what it is without the guys on Patreon. So it's patreon.com/ypressplay. You can head over there for, you know, we have different vlogs and stuff from behind the scenes and the show. There's extra videos and bits. And when I'm doing playthroughs on computer games on PlayStation, or when I'm doing the Mega Drive or SNES playthroughs, you guys get to join in live. And the rest of the plebs have to just watch. We also have a Discord server. So for those of you who don't know Discord, it's an app that you can use voice and text to communicate. There's going to be a video option for it quite soon as well. And everybody who's on those Conspiracy Guys are on White Press Play Discord servers. You kind of have like a first hand, I'd much rather reply on Discord and have a conversation on Discord, because it's more conducive to a conversation rather than replying to comments on Facebook or Twitter, because the shit gets lost and context get lost. So if you head over to Discord, and the link for that is on the header for the Twitter page, or you can email me and I'll send it over to you. info@ypressplay.com is the email. So if we get anything wrong or you have any corrections or any other suggestions, info@ypressplay.com. And we also do live shows. So like I said, we'll be movie watch throughs using a web service that was shown to me by Johnny from Disaster Artists called rab.it, or rabbit, it looks like, and it has a little rabbit on the logo, where I'll be able to pick a movie. And then if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can join in. We all watch the movie together, make comments on it, and then I can release that then on Twitch or on YouTube or VidMe as well. So we do have a YouTube channel, so it's youtube.com/YPressPlay. We also have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/YPressPlay, where we'll be doing the game playthroughs, the final stages for Horizon Zero Dawn. I thought I lost the video. It's up there now. And at the moment, I'm playing through The Last of Us. So if you want to join in on that and comment, like I said, get onto Discord or twitch.tv and share this. Go onto iTunes and leave a rating or a review and try and get people to know that this is out there. I know most of the people that are listening to this also listen to those conspiracy guys, so thanks very much for that. But don't be afraid to share it or tell people. We're only 5 or 6 episodes in, so it's not such a big thing. But I have big plans for this, and it's going to get better. So like I said, Facebook or Twitter if you want to get me, but Discord is probably the place to go if you want to get in contact with me. I'd be more amenable on Discord. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
How are people not tripping over Gordon out in the street? Drive into Gordon just on the motorway?
Billboards and shit
there's
loads of these apps that you can just like put one thing up and like
I'm surprised
this.
I didn't wake up beside Gordon this morning. That's gorgeous.
Just in your inbox.
Yeah.
I have this camera. It's called a Mevo camera. Yeah. And it's able to live stream to YouTube or Periscope or Facebook from the push of one button. So like I said, me and Tom were looking at the studio here before we sat down, and I'm going to try and get it looking like a news desk type effort where the camera will be pointing at us.
Are you going to wear a tie?
Yeah, a tie, but no pants.
Absolutely.
Brian Dobson style. And and we'll be sitting in behind the desk and the camera will be on us. So this that we're having next time you're here, Tom, we will have like lights, camera, action, makeup girl, whole thing.
I've got to dress up, don't I?
We'll have to wear clothes at least. And we're going to be broadcasting it live on either Twitch or YouTube, depending on if YouTube hasn't fucking fallen into the memory hole at that stage.
Yeah.
A lot of shit going on there as well. So like I said, get in contact with us if there's anything you want us to know, and you want us to watch or see any corrections that you have, or any other movies that you'd like to watch in the rabbit stream watch along, because that is great crack.
Rab.it. IT.
Really good service. Like I go in and I click, I pick a movie or a TV channel. There's a lot of people watching Rick and Morty, just watching along and commenting and having a crack and all. It is class.
Really?
You can have 25 people up to 25 people in the room, and I'm going to be streaming. Whoever those 25 are, they're going to be coming in from the Patreon subscribers.
Ah.
And then you can watch along then on YouTube or Twitch or Periscope on Facebook, because I use Restream to stream to all social medias at the same time. Took a long time to find out the proper streaming services.
Yeah, I can only
stuff.
Imagine.
But we're there now.
Good on you.
Yeah, man, it's good crack. So this is Idiocracy. We're getting into it. This is Tom's first time, so we got to get to know Tom. Can you give us, on Y Press Play, we like to do this thing like the 60-second plot, right? Can you give us the plot of Idiocracy from start to finish?
Absolutely.
In 60 seconds.
I can do it inside 3 seconds.
Yeah, I know you can. Yeah. guy wakes up, then he's cool. Like 5 words. Can you give us a, because there's there's so many little set pieces
there is,
and stuff.
Yeah,
we're
going
to go through
so
it in detail, but loads of little set pieces. So we're going to give Tom 60 seconds to go through Idiocracy. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go.
Average Joe, quite literally Average Joe. He's pretty much crap at what he does, but not terrible. He gets put forward for an experiment to see if they can freeze him in time, gets forgotten about, wakes up 500 years in the future. It's gone to shit because essentially genetics have just fallen apart. Terry Crews is the president because he's as cool as hell and he's an ex-wrestler. He meanders through the society and realizes how absolutely dipshit hell has gone. It essentially turns into like somewhere in Leitrim. That's essentially what you're talking about.
West Virginia.
West Virginia. He just... And the whole idea being is that he's going to turn the whole place around with his, because he has now become the world's most intelligent person. There's absolutely cracking lines throughout the whole thing, like electrolytes. That needs to be remembered, because I want that on a t-shirt, by the way.
We're going to do that.
There was absolutely 10 seconds left. You cannot miss anything to do with this movie, because every little nook and cranny in it is absolutely brilliant. It ends exactly how you'd imagine. He saves the day.
1 second to spare. Oh, nice one, Tom.
There's a whore in it.
It's Rita the whore.
The whore.
Yeah, it's there's, but you couldn't even, like, even if you went into those little set pieces to try and say, like the thing at the end with the gladiators arena, and you know the whole water thing. Like
if I was going to go down that route in that 60 seconds, I was like, because while I was talking there, I just went, no, I can't go down this route, because this will be just a good minute gone by itself.
What I do find when we're doing those 60 seconds, because you'll get a practice in the next show, you'll probably be able to go, well, what I do find is the first 2 minutes of the movie take up the first 30 seconds. We open on a green field, and it's just
in a world.
Idiocracy is kind of one of those, I think, like society predicting movies. One of those ones like The Matrix.
Yes,
where
it
changed perceptions at the time for a very, very small amount of people, and then as it aged, it got a lot bigger. Like The Matrix was probably a bad example, but like
The Matrix got
a lot more coverage because of its esoteric content later on. I mean, like at the start it was like, ooh, a Keanu Reeves action movie, and then like 15 years later we're looking at it going, well, Jesus, that was a fucking prediction about life.
Yeah.
And there's a whole new reception on how that movie is
well, especially
like an allegory of fucking humanity.
The opening 5 minutes of Idiocracy, almost everybody can relate. Now, clearly, the opening 5 minutes is all about basically how, for the want of a better phrase, intelligent, more successful people would wait until it's the right time to have a child, and then they've left it go too long. Whereas the white trash rednecks are absolutely banging like rabbits and pumping out children everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's all a case of, hold my beer, you know, these kind of people, like
Cleave on.
Yeah, and nobody wants
and there's like a family tree going,
Yeah.
Of all his babies that he's having. Yeah, but in 2006, we were talking about like a world peak economy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they made it in 2005. Yeah. It was released at the end of 2006. Went to DVD in early 2007, and at that point, like there was never as much money on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
People were never as rich in the Western world as they were at this point. So it was kind of right on the money at that point.
Yeah.
But it's so much more relevant now again.
Yeah.
Because
the
money went down, and the people who were smart are like, well, geez, I definitely can't afford kids now, you know?
I did the last time prior to rewatching this, it was actually a couple of months back. I came back in and it was on TV and I went, it's easy watching while you're sitting there or whatever. And I think it is
great crack.
Oh, it's great crack.
Like,
to
in
watch.
The remit of why press play, you should press play on this, because it is just 100%
crack
nonsense.
The whole
crack.
Way through it. It's got its tongue rammed in its cheek the entire way through.
Yeah.
But I think I tweeted something like, I'm watching, you know, and it was, I love a good documentary.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people jumped out and went, oh, I get it. Yeah.
It has been lauded as that. Like, there's a lot of stuff now with Trump being the president and the buffoonery from Terry Crews
being the next wrestler.
President Camacho. President
Camacho.
Hernandez Mountain Jew. There's something he has in his name. It's class.
I just love
it. Take the piss. And the materialism and the sexualization of advertising and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff now has kind of caught up with the satire of 2006.
Yep.
I found that the intro bit really, like, you could write that out and put that like as a blog post on some kind of like liberal website, and people would be like, oh my god, it's just so right.
Yeah,
that is just bang on.
You know? Absolutely.
The movie itself, probably as a movie, is not brilliant.
No, but that's why I love
There's no real story.
No.
Or like, there is a very weak kind of arc with Joe Bowers, who's played by
Average Joe.
Who's played by Luke Wilson. A very good looking man.
Great guy.
Confusingly good looking, right?
Yeah, because you wouldn't say he's not the manliest dude you've ever seen.
Mm.
But like I said, attainable is a big thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, he's no.
I would say too, like Brad this, Pitt. You're not watching this movie to watch him. You're watching it for a pure crack. This movie, like,
yeah, it is. This is switch your brain off. Like, be an idiot in Idiocracy. Don't look for like any I think the deeper political aspirations that have been put on it after the movie has been made. And yeah, Mike Judge and Ethan Coen, who actually put it together, said like, we literally were just making like a poo-poo joke movie.
We didn't
want it to be like a biting satire on society. It was just like, here's a bit of fucking laugh crack.
But you take from it what you will, kind of a thing, you know. But exactly. Like, there was even down to the TV show that he was, your man was watching. Remember when he broke in, he was watching the show
called Out My Balls. Yeah.
And you're like, Out My Balls could be a name of a TV show now.
Maybe not a TV show, but definitely hundreds of YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fat people falling over. Fail Army.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I just want to watch people fall over.
Yeah.
For hours.
Hours.
And I do it myself. And
you
it helps
watch
my
it,
brain
yeah.
switch off.
Yep.
The fact, though, that these guys predicted some of the most, I don't know, like... preposterous things at the time.
Yeah.
But like, they have like using sex to sell, but now it's gone into a situation where like there's literally like arses and tits, like Kim Kardashian's, you can nearly see her arsehole, like her anus.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Do you know, to sell herself, where it changed Fuddruckers into buttfuckers.
And all the like, kids are
kids in the window. It's like, mom, we want to go to buttfuckers. Like, it kind of like bridged that gap. So Joe Bowers, who works for the army, he's literally average Joe.
Yeah.
He's average in everything. They pluck him from a real easy menial job, minding an army library.
He was downstairs in the library, yeah.
And they put him into this experiment where they will freeze his body and wake him up in a year's time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with him, they needed somebody who was from the private sector. So they got this prostitute.
Rita,
played by Maya Rudolph. And they put her in beside. So she's like sassy black woman, like, you know, I ain't getting no box, this is the goddamn coffin, like whatever. And puts her in, and they're always talking about her pimp upgrade.
Upgrade, yeah.
So there's loads of these little bitty jokes. Like, the guy who is describing that system is like, so we had to go into the sex trade industry and get down to know who was who and whatever. And there's like an army guy, and he has like 55 slides and a slideshow presentation of him drinking champagne and being like draped in tits. And it was just like,
there was no need whatsoever.
I think it was a bit of indulgence on the
absolutely
part of
like
Coen,
I mean,
and Judge, like,
if you're 9 out of 10 editors would have cut that scene,
of course,
like, you know what I mean, but it was like, leave it in, because he was like, it's an interesting world, the world of a pimp. the love of a pimp
pimping
is
an easy
yeah, but the love of a pimp is a different kind of love.
There's loads of little bits and stuff, like when he's walking into the room when they're supposed to be lying down in the thing, like, and he walks like with a kind of like a crip walk, and he's all like, all right niggas, let's lie down, we got some work to be doing, and you're like, he's like a 55-year-old like white scientist. It's very, very funny. Like, there's loads of those little things, and I found myself pausing the movie a lot and looking at the background, because there's like art in the background that was that, like, the names of things were all changed, loads of different brands were slightly skewed, and the only brand that wasn't skewed in any way at all was 20th Century Fox. So Fox News had its logo that it was at the time. It's like, we'll never change.
Yeah.
But everybody else, like Fuddruckers to buttfuckers. The human language also in this world. Mm. So Joe and Rita get put in these coffins. The clothes, they have these like life-sustaining, you know, it's like...
IVs,
like,
yeah. They get
that, what's that Mel Gibson movie where he gets frozen and he wakes up in the 90s?
It's not Forever Man or something.
Forever Young.
Forever Young.
Forever Young.
Yeah.
Classic. We're going to do that on White Press Play, too.
Oh,
I fucking love that movie. And they get frozen for 500 years.
Yeah.
Your man, the army guy who's like pimping in easy, he actually gets caught for like drug running and pimpology. The base, the army base, gets a bad reputation. They tear the whole thing down, as well as the two coffins in Indiana Jones.
Because it was secretive. You see, this is the thing. It was a secretive experiment. So,
and everybody who knew about it, including Upgrade, the pimp, and the army guy, all got put in jail. So these two kind of life support systems got left behind for 500 years. So Joe and Rita wake up in 2505.
Yeah.
After the great rubbish avalanche of 2505. And basically the world has devolved because a bunch of stupid people are just rutting and rutting. Squeezing out it. Mewling cabbage headed water faced retards. So the whole world is just full of gobshites.
Yeah.
And language has deteriorated to a bunch of, I think in the quote redneck in the movie was like redneck and valley girl with a series of grunts.
Yes, yeah.
So vocabulary is going like a lot. Like, I was looking at statistics. We were talking in our propaganda episode on those conspiracy guys in January just gone, and the average 15-year-old uses less than 200 words.
Good God!
In their whole vocabulary,
really?
Yeah. Like, think about. Can you imagine like how many like 200 words?
Good God!
That's not a lot.
No.
So that's why everything is a thing. I'll give me the thing on the thing.
Oh, good Lord! Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, and then there's new words now that have.
Or if you can't describe emotions. It's just like, how do you feel? I'm melancholy. Like, how do you feel? Weird.
Yeah.
What? Weird. You feel happy? Yeah, it's a weird feeling though. It's like weird happy.
Yeah.
It's like weird sad.
Yeah. Feeling off.
Yeah. Just weird. What? Just not right.
No, but it was, because even Joe, he tries to communicate with him. And it's so funny. It's like, Joe has just been, it's, you could see the crossover between that and almost like a documentary where Joe tries to speak with apes, essentially. Like, but what your brain is going, you're going, oh, they'll try to understand him, he'll try to, but it was like, he sounds like a fag.
And that's a word I thought, I was like, that's such a 2006 word.
Yeah, it absolutely
everything is so
like,
faggy.
Yeah, it's such a fag.
And now, Jesus Christ, you couldn't put that in any kind of movie or TV show.
I've provocatively used that on stage when I'm talking about people smoking cigarettes.
Right.
And you can see the heads of the people who are, you know, the virtue signalers. Mm. You can see their heads popping up going, did he say fag?
Mm.
And he says, no, that's a cigarette long before.
Yeah.
Yeah, long before.
It's a bundle of sticks. But
yeah,
it's just
a bundle of sticks, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't ever call anybody that. No. Unless they were acting like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't necessarily have to be homosexual. But it's just the way they use that, it's very juvenile, very from like school days.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Before you realise like, oh yeah, words, some people don't like words.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that the language has declined to that, and that is the most utilised word.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, the movie isn't hard for people to imagine it happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they've gone, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because as we go older, everybody's getting older. You're going to, I guarantee you, there was people older than us going,
attitudes change.
Carry on to these fuckers now. I mean, they're.
That's stupid. That's a stupid movie.
Where will society be with these fuckers when they get older? Like, and now we're looking at the same with the kids. You're saying 200 words. They'll probably be like those Facebook computers and just realise that language is obsolete and they'll just be able to have eye twitches another 50
make
years.
Make up your own thing. We'll end up like the grey aliens.
Yeah.
Just communicating. Telepathically through like emotion.
Oh, what was that one through ink on just ink? What was that one? Arrival.
Oh yeah,
just smoky ink.
You're just shitting your hand and you look, it's like reading tea leaves. Like
all I heard the whole way through that movie was that sound, and it was like, wow, that's a Guinness fart if ever I heard it. Just constant
Guinness farts.
There
that's what they were. But I think that in a movie like that where they didn't really mean to have any political kind of aspirations,
and
the fact that they predicted stuff. You know, I think it's just like there's people predicting an awful lot of stuff, and until it comes true, it's not really taken notice of.
Yeah, of course.
So there's a lot of people now, and I'm going to get a small bit political. There's a lot of people now talking about like, you know, you're not allowed to say this, you're not allowed to say that. So this word like fag, and I have down in my notes like a fag is used a lot. Faggy, faggotry, fagalicious, a lot of fag stuff. And I don't think it was gratuitous, but it was definitely like noticeably overused.
Yeah, well, just to poke you a little bit.
Like. A little bit.
Yeah.
It was quite provocative. And a lot of provocative stuff in the film. But with what's going on with Google and YouTube now, where it's literally like wrong think, or it's literally like free speech truncation, where if you have an opinion or if you have, you know, an idea that doesn't go with this specific kind of leftist liberal thought.
Yeah.
They're turning you off. They're turning off videos on YouTube. Google are saying that they're going to be like burying websites that have any of that kind of material. And now that's cool. If you have like a website like the Daily Stormer, which is all like fuck black people and Jews. Sure, I don't want to see that by accident.
Yeah, of course.
If I want to go and look at it though, I still should be allowed.
Yeah.
And if I want to like surround myself with that stuff and go, the Jews did it. Like, do that.
But it's like being told you can't go visit your crazy racist aunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you may not want to see her every day, but you still want the option of being allowed to go see her.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, this reduction of language or, like, the thoughts of, like, when Joe, like you said, was introduced to these people, and the guy goes, and Joe sounded a bit faggy to them. Fancy, he used fancy big words. And then some guy's like, you fag.
Yeah.
And then like pushes him or whatever. It kind of brings those memories like 11 years later. I'm going like, that's kind of what's happening a little bit.
But
absolutely spot on a little bit. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It just sounds like they didn't mean to do it, but they totally nailed how society.
They nailed it, yeah.
Also in the news, that there was the news reports like, it was like ads and banners and before, and 2006 yeah. was kind of like 24-hour news cycle already, but it wasn't as bananas as it is now.
Or does that quite literally subliminal ads just popping up in every option? Like yeah. it was,
there's a lower thirds bar with like a constant ticker, and then like there's a column goes up the right hand side then with all the headlines. And
even when he's in, your man's in his, what's his name? I keep
Dax Shepherd.
You know, he's in his apartment, he's booting, and he's watching
Frito Pendejo. That's his name.
And he's in his apartment, and it's all four sides are just banners of yeah. ads going all the way around, and all their clothing is pro wear, like, you know. Yeah, it's all
has all the logos of all the different companies yeah, and stuff yeah, on yeah. it. Yeah, it's kind of like yeah. like, but 2006 is not that long ago, but no. really it's a different world.
There's
it really is like a
different
world.
Do you think
world.
The lad's meant to be? I don't know because there's they nailed so many things in it. You're like, this is it. Because if you didn't nail it that hard, even 11 years later, would you be like, yeah?
Well, reality TV and Oh My Balls.
Yeah,
like that's essentially like America's Got Talent, or like the YouTube videos, like it's yeah. the most popular stuff online.
Oh, what he's baiting to, where he wants, like, she's cut, it's a lady's feet, and all you see yeah. is his face going, oh,
I'm baiting,
cut me off a slice of that. Oh. Yeah. And then you just, and it cuts to a woman just cut, and I guarantee you, there's people were totally into that.
The most popular movie at the time was just called Ass, and it was just like a big picture of an arse farting for an hour and a half.
I would love, as an experiment, to see how many people go see that.
I was looking this up online, like researching what was similar to these things, yeah. and I actually found a music video from like a Swedish pop group, and it's just literally a whole load of different people's arses.
There you are.
It's literally just arse for three minutes and 30 seconds.
And you put Swedish on the name of it, and people go, well, it's art. Yeah. It's art for sure.
How could it not be art? I mean, it's big man's hairy arses.
It ends with the word Finn at the end of it, so you know, it's like...
Yeah, those Finnish as well. And then Camacho, the crazy president... And I think this way Idiocracy has got... the people are looking for Anton to pin on Trump, you know. These guys are like, yeah. oh, let's go back to the... Finding the CNN wrestling. Did you see that CNN wrestling
gift? Yeah, yeah.
So, like, he was wrestling against...
Who was it? Was it Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon. Yeah. And they put the CNN on Vince McMahon's yeah. head, and Trump was baiting him and all. So, Camacho was a former wrestler.
Yeah.
And Trump used to be in the... And to draw all these comparisons, like he's a crazy celebrity who ended up being the president just because of his, you know, braggadociousness. Yeah, yeah. And then as Joe is introduced, like, so Joe lands into the future and he does an IQ test and he sends him through all of these things.
IQ test.
And he gets introduced to the president, and the president makes all these promises to the whole country that Joe is going to fix the world.
Fix the world.
They can't grow any plants. They can't... you know, there's too much rubbish. Like
dust storms as well.
Dust bowl, yeah. yeah. So they don't have any means to stay alive on the planet. Like, nope. It's going to be the end of humanity if Joe doesn't help. And he's not that smart. He's really average. But he's the smartest person on this planet. And he makes all these promises. And it kind of echoes the way Trump is going, like,
yeah.
And then we'll build a wall to space.
So, yeah.
And everyone will have a job. Twice. Like, yeah. It's so...
I'm just waiting for him when somebody pipes up and he just starts shooting a machine gun into the air. Like, you know what I mean? Just to shut him up.
Yeah. It does get quite
I mean, if you think about it, like, I mean, you could easily see President Camacho telling somebody to punch that guy.
Yeah.
You could, in that movie, you're going, if he said, just punch that guy right in the face.
I'm almost sure he did.
Did he?
I'm almost sure at one point he did, yeah.
I mean, that's direct Trumpus. You know, it's direct to
Trumpington. So I like Terry Crews as the president.
How can you not?
He's
Terry
really
Crews
good.
Is just the coolest dude ever.
Like. And they bring Joe in to this one of my favorite, like, the sequences in the yeah. movie is when Joe gets he lands into Frito Pendejo's apartment. It's led by Dax Shepherd. And Dax is like watching the TV and he's like, I'm watching on my balls. Like, never go full retired.
No.
I thought it was a little bit much. You could have been a little bit less. Retarded.
I suppose, but how do you tell that guy to back it down, to take it down a notch?
You like? Just go, come here, Dax. You haven't been in a movie in years. Do you want to be another one? Stop acting the fucking gobshite.
yeah, right enough, I suppose. Yeah,
do you know what slow I mean? It down. 11 years later, he's in Chips, and it's another fucking stinker.
But then I suppose the other thing is, like, I mean, the lads, I wouldn't imagine they put it. Just it struck me like they just left him off the chain with everything. Yeah. Like, it was just, yeah, good. Whatever you think right now, you think is funny, just do it. Do it.
If anyone out there is a fan of Dax Shepard, anyone listening to White Press Play right now, tell us why. I'd love to know why, because I don't like. Mm. I mean,
there's a few people that could have slipped in there quite handy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We would do that in our alternative casting as we do on White Press Play. But the section where he is like arrested for not having a barcode,
tattoo.
So,
yeah.
So you have to have a barcode for identity and for exchange of money and all that stuff. So the police chase him, catch him. They put him through this whole system of going into jail, and he does an IQ test and everything like that. And they put his arm into this big machine that tattoos him, and it's like, what's your name? And he's like, not sure. And then that's his whole name. Then for the movie,
it becomes not sure.
I thought that was a really weak joke that went through the whole film.
Yeah. I mean, I thought now they could it went on and on and on. It was like, okay.
And it came back about 15 times. Like,
they could have left it off. Like, because if the movie was being narrated anyway, so it didn't really need to. I don't think it was strong enough to bring up as many times as they did anyway, that's for sure. Like,
I they could have just called him Joe, and I think it would have been a tighter representation of Wilson's character.
Yeah.
If he was like Joe all the time, he was Joe. But like after about the first third of the movie, everyone just called him Not Sure.
It did. Yeah, it didn't stack up. And because so much, not that I'd say they cared too much, but I would say the rest of the movie was stronger than that.
Like, I think
you know
so.
What I mean? It really was.
It took away from it every time. I had shades of Fifth Element.
I hadn't really thought too much, but you're dead right. That's the thing that actually sat subliminally with me going, I couldn't care less about this. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, Joe would have been just fine.
You're supposed to care more about him, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You are supposed to care more about him.
And the whole first third in the movie is my favourite part, because it kind of like, the elastic kind of started to sag around the jocks.
It did.
But the first thing where he's like arrested by the police and he's brought in to this medical examination, and one of the best scenes. So we do our favourite scenes on White Press Play. So the examination where he has the three nodules, three metal poles.
And
one goes in your mouth, one goes in your ear, and one goes up your arse. And then he presses the button and it goes bam. And he's like, presses the button again, bam. Oh, okay. And he pulls back the three and he starts flicking them around and he's like, okay, this one goes in your mouth, this one goes in your... But just to watch...
The fact that one of them has been up his arse already.
Yeah, just like, to watch Luke Wilson's face, because he's looking at like a guy playing three card Monty on a table on the side of the street or something. And he's like trying to keep his eye on the one that was up his arse.
And what I'm a complete sucker in silly comedies, whether it's all the way, like no matter what, it's for somebody shouting in the background.
Yeah, there's so many of them in this.
Yeah, but this is one of the first ones. And the guy's just in the back. And it's unnecessary, but for some reason I have a soft spot for somebody just going, come on, you asshole. I love.
Yeah, but it does, it gives that that element of like we're all in a rush.
There's a few things it brought me straight back to an old thing from Father Ted years ago. And it was like, it was during the sheep. And it was, it's the big shock horror. And just some guy in the background going, fucking hell.
There's a lot of these, it was unnecessary, but it's still I'm sure there's like guys in the crew that were like, just shout something out, like having the crack behind the camera.
That's kind of the vibe I get from the whole thing, that I'd say not to, like if they shot a thing and they went continuity, fuck it.
At some point you do realise like there was an element of like, fuck it, let's just finish this thing.
It was wrapped up pretty quickly, like
So further on then from that, he goes through the things up the bum and in the ear and in the mouth, and he goes into a hospital where he's trying to this is my favourite part, like just such a little small thing. He goes into the hospital to get a checkup after he wakes up.
And he goes up to reception.
And there's a one, she's chewing gum, and she looks at him like shit on the shoe. Like, it's just like, ugh.
She was brilliant. She was brilliant, because you didn't know what she was going to do. You had no idea what she was going to do.
And she looks at there's like a bunch of buttons. And
like
they all have like
a kid's toy. Like, oh my God.
And they all have emojis on it. So it's all like,
baby one dropping
is like,
out or something.
A knife in the head, or like a gunshot, an explosion. And it was all the different ailments that you could have. And then there was one that just had a bunch of question marks.
Yeah.
And she's just like, looks at him, looks at the button, looks at him, looks at the button, and it just goes, presses it.
Yeah.
And then the machine says, please step in the examination room too. And then he goes, thank you. And she just like looks away. She doesn't even engage with
nothing.
Him.
Like, you know, like, but she, I thought she was fantastic. Really good, man. Like,
yeah.
Because she really did not look like she'd even 1% of the brain working, like, at that point. Like,
I've been in the social welfare office. I know exactly those people.
But it's her finger hovering over, like, as he's saying it word by word. It's like, so I'm not feeling she's over like the baby, and the head with a gunshot. And like, and I'm not, my back, and just goes to question mark. It's like, fuck it.
But the question mark you don't see coming, like, that's a real nice choice moment. But after that, like, the elastic started to loosen.
Oh, I thought.
They went to the jail, and he just goes up to
the jail, one of the wardens,
jail guys. Yeah. He's like, I'm not supposed to be here. And he's like, okay.
No, he hits him. He's a asshole. Yeah. You're in the wrong line. Yeah, yeah. The leaving jail line is over there.
And then he just gets out, and you're like, this is class. The whole chase is on then, and yeah, you know, he starts being called not sure because he already has the tattoo. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it kind of
I did quite like the bit though when they had to run from the car because the car shut down.
Yes.
And himself
again predicting the future, like Tesla cars. Like, yeah. If you're logged into the car, there's no car key, there's no nothing. You like whoop whoop, and you get in. If you're a criminal, or if someone wants to stop you, or indeed like the MI6 or the CIA or whatever,
they
want to kill you. They'll just like put a thing on and crash into a pole on a country road, and that's.
Well, so many cars can be actually manipulated now, and it doesn't have to be Tesla, because the BMW ones are all linked. Yeah. All Lexus now since 2012 are all linked to a central computer.
So you hack in,
hack in, do what you want,
hard right, into a pole.
Well, you can cut any of the brakes because the brakes are all electronic as well. You can cut anything. You can cut out the gearbox. You can do whatever you want with any of the cars now, especially the big ones that are from Japanese. Like, especially Lexus and Toyotas.
Wow.
They can all be manipulated now from a central hub.
So there you go, people.
Most Lexuses nowadays, you come with it's like, basically, if you've lost direction and you're looking for a restaurant, or if you've a question about the car, you can quite literally talk to the car and it will go to a central office and they'll answer whatever you want. They can be your Google, Lexus Google.
What do you need to know, Michael?
Mm, quite literally, yeah, yeah.
That's daily.
But I did like the bit though when they shot up the car and they shot it to bits. And he was delighted about it. Like,
yeah, he was cool. Like, the guy who owned this, he nearly wanted to go over and do a bit of it too, you know?
Yeah.
Out my ball syndrome. But that kind of reminded me of the mob justice that we're seeing on the streets of Berkeley and stuff over the last little while. Antifa coming out and social justice and this kind of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of that. For the escape bit where they have to go and find Rita, and Rita has, like, she seems a bit superfluous to the story.
This is the thing. I think she was either the wrong person to have, because I didn't buy into Rita at all the whole way through it. You know what I mean? I don't know, is it the fact that it was the actor that it is, or like, it was just, I mean, the upgrade thing was played a bit too much.
They said upgrade too many times.
Way too many.
And he
times.
Never showed. I was expecting him to show up before the end of all the whole time.
He had to show up. Go, where my money, bitch? Yeah. You know what I mean?
He somehow found a way to get to the future.
Had to. But they did, like, it was, you know, but yeah, she could have been left. Well, they would. I think they probably did need a lady character, all right. But it should have been somebody a bit white. I think if it was a larger lady, it would have been much funnier. I think. Why
I don't
not?
Even know about the actress, like, but the character was just written as kind of an afterthought. I felt like it was just like, okay, we need somebody else to give it that. Something to cut away to. Like, you know, like a Simpsons episode where it's either like Homer and Bart, and then it's like Marge and Lisa have their own storyline. Yeah, so it's something to cut away to. They needed another story. So every time they cut away, they were cutting away to Rita doing some shit. Like, she had some guy, the narrator was like, the oldest profession in the world was still alive and well in 2505. But the marks were a lot easier to manipulate, and she's like getting this guy going, you hang on for me, baby, and he's paying her loads and still not having sex with her.
The verb is all wrong. Like, he doesn't, he's like, oh, I'll hang, all right, I'll hang the fuck out of this
man.
I will hang like a mother. And she's like, you keep hanging, and she's like taking the money. Like, there was an element of that where like, I think he was quite good, that actor.
The
like, he was
fact,
just, he's like, you I'm know it, mommy. And he's giving it
I
all
can't
like,
wait, mommy.
Like, pursing his lips, like, mommy, you know it, mommy, I'll hang here, all right.
But later on in the movie, then she became a little bit more kind of involved in the story when they were doing the whole we gotta water the plants thing, which I felt was quite rushed.
Yeah.
As well, it was just like, okay, we need a reason for this to happen. The whole first third of the movie was like setting it up.
Yeah.
The second act, I think, is completely superfluous.
Yeah.
And then the third act comes out of nowhere and finishes and has a nice resolution. But how they got from, right, you're in this new world, mm-hmm. to you need a purpose to be here, to the resolution.
There wasn't
of
enough of it. Sure, there wasn't.
No, it felt like I said, Shades of Fifth Element.
Yeah,
but with no motivation. Yeah. There was no Deus Ex Machina. There was no like perp. Like the whole point of Fifth Element is that inside of Lilu Dallas
is the what
the power was the whole time from the start.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't get that from Joe. And I think maybe the name Not Sure took away from it a little bit.
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, the more I think about it, it was absolutely not needed at all. You know? Yeah.
It's weird how you're seeing then, we go on a little bit, it's weird how when they're free, Rita and Joe and Frito are going through basically like the future times.
Yes,
going into
Costco,
your man is like, he was a lawyer.
Yeah, he did got his law degree in Costco.
In Costco.
Yeah.
And you're coming into Costco and the guy at the front is like, welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah.
Welcome
that
to Costco.
That was gorgeous. Like, it was just, that actually made me, even though I've seen it a bunch of times.
I honked.
Yeah, I laughed out loud.
Because it's those little things that were really well thought out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That I felt overshadowed the main story. And I'm like, well, if they can do that well with a little aside.
Yeah.
Why then couldn't they?
I have a funny feeling that elements like that, when I saw that guy do that, I had a funny feeling that possibly the actual actor himself said, they went, you know, it was welcome to Costco, and he actually said it on set that day going, I love you, and they're like, that's class,
yeah,
run with that. Because
you've been on comedy sets, like on TV and movie sets,
and it
like,
works,
that does happen, right?
Because he might have done that 50 other different ways.
Yeah.
And they just went, you know what, that actually really works. Let's leave it in. Because even when we, on the likes of Damo and Ivor, they were very nice about it. Now, we had to know our lines and all the rest, but there was more.
But for the main plot that was already decided long before cameras rolled. But this seemed like they didn't have that before cameras rolled.
The director just went, you know what, Tom, they just leave a camera on you.
Mm.
And it was like, I've done a couple of phone scenes and you'll be on the phone and you're chatting away and you get through the lines and then you just continue. It's like, oh, and you can see him warming up behind the camera going, oh, I think we just found a funnier bit.
Yes.
And that's often a moment like that, because it's not conclusive with everything else that went on in the movie. You just, like you pointed out, that was a beautiful nugget. And it doesn't resonate with a lot of other bits.
There's one other bit as well where there's a girl, she used to be on the Mayor Cherry, remember that show?
Yeah.
Where it was like a bunch of teenage girls or whatever, and she was one of those girls. She was like a bit part in this. She was boobs when they went into the White House.
Oh, she was amazing.
That little line that she has, and she only speaks like twice in the movie,
and
that's one time she speaks. And you said that your good lady often says that to you.
She loves it. Like it's just because they're talking about. What? Why? Because the reason behind the plants dying was that they've been pumping the energy drink onto it instead of water.
This is the main thing in the movie is that Joe is the smartest guy on the planet, and the president wants him to help to fix the planet by fixing the food shortage, the fact that they can't grow any plants, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So he goes out into the field, checks how they're watering the plants. And this company called Brondo, which is like a Red Bull, has taken over from water.
Yeah.
And they employ like four-fifths of the population of America or whatever. And in fact, the producers of the movie bought the rights to Brondo.com and actually produced Brondo as a drink.
They did not.
In real life.
They did not.
According to the internet.
Has it got...
It's gone now, but Brondo.com, you can go and have a look at it.
That's amazing. Because
it's good, right?
It's the bit that they keep on... Because he keeps on coming back to, why are you using Brondo? And it's all of them are just using the tagline because it has electrolytes. And you know, almost nobody knows what electrolytes are anyway, but they've heard of them because you need to...
Because you need them.
But that's the only answer that they... What are electrolytes? They are the things that plants crave. And it's the fact that they're both... they all have the same explanatory hand movement. They all do this thing of rolling over their hands. Like, it's electrolytes because they've they've settled in their brain that electrolytes are what plants crave.
Yeah.
And it's like the way she...
But it's what people crave. That's the tagline for Brondo. Is like, Brondo, with electrolytes, it's what you crave. But they just put plants in instead of people. Yeah. It's like, it must be what plants crave.
But every time, but this has been an ongoing joke for years in our household, is where my wife, like she says something that I don't understand when it's like, and she'll just look at me like I'm a dipshit. And she'll just move her hands and say, electrolytes, Tom. So that is one of the golden nuggets that has just stuck in our lives.
I love that bit for when she goes like that, they're explaining this huge big thing and she's like, but electrolytes?
Yeah.
Like,
she said, yeah.
And it's the only line she gets in the whole show. I'm like, in the whole
she
film.
She should have
gotten
more because she's actually very, very funny. Very, very funny. Very funny. But even...
her name in the movie is Boobs. Yeah. Like, that's a bit, you know.
Yeah. I suppose the other... Yeah. But there was a bit too... Because I watched her a few times in the background. Even physically, she's very funny because there was a bit where they're out at the fields looking.
Yeah.
And... They come up and he'd been looking for Rita. And they were like, we found that whore you were looking for. I was like, you know, can we all have a go over? And they were like, he's going to bang her. He's going to bang. And she's in the background getting excited using the vagina finger motion.
Finger
like she's finger.
Hand.
Yeah, she's like, but it's just something very funny about her doing it as well. Because she's like, yeah, he should totally bang her.
There's a lot of that background stuff going on. There's a lot of extras doing stupid things. Like guys like walking into pull and push doors and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all through the whole background. So all that stuff is very, very well thought out, Tom.
They should have had it.
But the main point in a movie doesn't have that. And that's the thing that annoyed me. That if it was all unilaterally shite.
I'd be
like, cool.
Cool, fine. Yeah, yeah.
And I think maybe they made it like that so the veneer, the front of it, looks like a shit movie. Now, with regard to like how it was received by testing audiences, theatrical audiences, and then the cult following that got afterwards, it almost didn't get a theatrical release because of this thing that we're talking about.
Such terrible,
testing audiences. Only because it was in the contract for the lads who made the movie that it got a theatrical release. Only for that, it was going to go straight to DVD.
Jesus.
Right? Failed on all testing audiences. They give it a very limited theatrical release because they didn't want to put any more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed out. They only put it in 6 regions and missed out big places like California and New York.
Right.
So it was all a Midwestern theatrical release. It made less than 500,000 in the box office.
Good Jesus.
At the end of 2006. Less than 500,000.
Jesus.
Can you imagine that? And in 2007, when it was released on DVD, after people found out what it was and
saw what
it was, it made $9 million.
What?
So it made double back what it spent on it.
That's incredible.
$9 million in DVD sales for like stoners going like, man, we got to watch this, man. And it was before like streaming media and stuff, like 2007.
Yeah. But it's continuously on TV as well. Like,
I can't stress enough how... test audiences and these, like, if you've ever watched that, this movie is not yet rated. It's a documentary about the rating system in the US and how anonymous it is, and they slap NC-17s on people for no reason and stuff like that. Like, that system has denied the world many a good movie or TV show.
Yeah, of course it would. Like,
killed pilots and stuff like that, you know.
Well, that's it. Especially with this movie, you can kind of see where they were coming from if they looked at it first out the gate. But you don't know what it was billed at either. You know what I mean? It could have been, was it just a straight up comedy? Like, I mean,
yeah.
And it's all about what, like, the perfect time to watch this thing is either hungover or you just had, there's something else.
Yeah.
It's
a brain switcher offer.
It's a brain switcher offer, yeah. Absolutely.
It's not like a Friday night premiere movie. It's like a Sunday afternoon, I'm waiting around to do something else movie.
Yeah. And you wouldn't mind missing the end of it. Or the middle.
Go for a long shit during the middle of the movie and then coming back because you can pick it up straight away.
Last time I watched it, it was quite literally that. I came in from out gigging and it was on. And it was on about the point where they were shooting up his car. I was like, good.
I don't know why, but I don't think it's that important why. I think it's just visuals. The original title was supposed to be The United States of America with UHH America.
Yeah.
And they changed it to Idiocracy just before release. But when in that limited theatrical release, a lot of cinemas weren't allowed to put Idiocracy as the name.
Why?
For some reason. Because they didn't want people to go and see it. But because it was in the contract that they had to release it in theatres.
What?
They had to release it, but they just went, newest Mike Judge movie or something was the title of it. So you had to know who the director was.
Yeah.
And there was no title. So nobody went to see it. They were like, I don't know, Mike Judge, I don't know.
So wow. So they
how crazy is that?
They were being elbowed out. They were not getting
kind of like they'd signed a brilliant contract that says it had to be released no matter what.
Yeah.
But the test audiences and the FCC or whatever went no. It says fag too much. No.
Right. Yeah,
imagine
yeah.
that.
That's horrible.
It's like, weird, like,
because you're talking about people's livelihoods. Still, I mean, the whole thing had to be shot there, like, you know.
Yeah, well, everyone that got paid already, it wasn't like it was just reputation that you were looking at. Like everyone that got paid, and it was one of the Coen brothers had done it, so like he wasn't going to be losing his shirt.
No, he had that in the arse pocket anyway, like that kind of money, I'd imagine.
But why you like pin it down like that? So it's odd, isn't it?
I'd say, like, you being one of the conspiracy guys, you could probably root that out. I swear to God,
we are going to look into censorship on those conspiracy guys. Like, there is a lot of stuff, and for our live show, for those of you who don't know, those conspiracy guys putting on a live show on the 14th of September and on the 10th of October. In the Sugar Club, the 14th of September, I think, is sold out at this point.
Class.
And then we have another big gig then in the Sugar Club, which is about 300.
Oh, it's good. And it's for anybody who's wondering, if you don't go to many theatres, the Sugar Club is one of the sweetest ass places for people to sit at.
Yeah,
because
it's
all little booths.
It's like a cinema.
Yeah, but you get tables. They do table service and everything there. Yeah. You want to be going to this.
Cocktails, drinks, promotions. It's going to be class. And there's a massive big cinema screen and a nice low stage and stuff for us to
go
up and
down. I went to see the Beetlejuice.
Yeah, they do cinema stuff
in
there.
They do.
Went to see The Room.
Did you?
Yeah. And the lads were throwing forks at the screen and all. There's like a whole thing. Everyone dressed up like the people from The Room. Disaster Artist, which is the new Seth Rogen and James Franco movie about... what's your man's name again?
Oh, what is that? God, my brain is after just going blank on that because I only saw a trailer for it the other day. What was it again?
Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
He's the guy,
like
weird accented superstar of this movie who got like $10 million out of nowhere to make this film. So the Sugar Club is class, right? So we're able to go, we're able to do that live. And was there something about there?
We were saying that getting to the bottom of the old. The lads.
And we will be talking about the Google and YouTube censorship for content. That's part of this live show because it's happening day to day. It's not like I can build up a podcast and do a show about it and release it like in October or November and have that stand the test of time, because this now is like
What do you think is the reasoning behind that?
Political affiliation. They're back and they're putting their bets on a certain political ideology and hope that wins. Because if it doesn't win, YouTube are going to lose an awful lot of customers. Mm. Also, it's based on advertising, part of like Chomsky's five filters of media, where it's like you're getting flack for saying a certain thing and money as a source of income is being removed from messages that they don't want to be broadcast.
So there really is no such thing as free speech. Like, I mean, with the whole
it's a private company and they have every right to kick people off it, but they also have every right to get criticised for it, and we have every right to go onto another video platform.
Yeah.
But YouTube are totally happy enough with, like, you know, 50 million children's eyes looking at like all these videos of fucking Spider-Man raping Elsa and like kids like pooping chocolate pudding into a toilet and then eating it with a spoon. Check that out on YouTube. Like, there's
Good
some
Lord.
Fucked up shit there, right?
Good Lord.
And then they also have like Power Rangers stuff and like, you know, whatever the kids are watching, and they put slap ads on in front of that. However was it any different, man?
Coming up to
Christmas, advertise to kids. Cereal, food, Froobs, fucking cheese strings, Transformers, like, blah, like fucking, you know, like little sponges being...
I'm baiting
over here.
It's
what it is. They're just an idiocracy of just being pumped in.
It's all money, isn't it?
All money.
Bottom line, it's all money.
The advertisers don't want to be shamed into being associated with any kind of, you know, alternative political rhetoric.
Wow.
So it is a kind of a censorship idiocracy. And in 2006, this was seen by these FCC or by these guys as like, yeah, they say fag too much and they're criticizing like how government is.
And they're in that game anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a message that shouldn't be like, it's too critical.
Yeah.
Do you know, as a joke, I don't think it's even that bitingly critical.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
it's not. It's
a jape, you know, an old funny.
But you wouldn't know what
fart jokes and.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. But the thing is, I suppose too, you wouldn't. Any risk.
People will take it away.
Any risk at all of. They'll just. It's easier just to say, fuck it. It's not happening.
But the fact that they had the contract to release it to theatres.
How did they get that contract, I wonder?
Yeah, I think it's Ethan Coen, man.
That was cute going now. That was.
Like, they just signed a contract, make sure they get released. Because if it went straight to DVD, there's kind of like a public perception of, like, oh, it must have been shite.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't
buy
it. But people watched this and went, oh, brilliant. Like Waiting. Do you ever watch Waiting?
Yeah.
Like Waiting is a classic
cracker. I love Waiting.
I've never met anyone in my life that saw that in the cinema.
No, I didn't. It was on DVD or TV or something.
Like when you're out there smoking half the joint and then you're like, I'd love to watch a film. And then you're just going through and you're like, oh, what's this? And you're in Extra Vision or you're in Blockbuster.
Oh,
going,
a stroke of luck.
Oh, this is Ryan Reynolds. Oh yeah, cool. Let's try this. You know, lash it in.
That's the only reason why you'd watch it too, because the name is shite to start with. You know what I mean? But
classic move, classic moves.
Oh, the balls thing, like the, oh my god, the goat.
The bat, the goat, the whole, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And did you ever watch the outtakes at the end?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Where your man actually has his balls, cock and balls out. Like
the Mexican guy. Yeah, brilliant.
Amazing.
It's one of those things like where you're looking at the, like I said, if you want to watch that, This Film Is Not Yet Rated is the name of the documentary. I put it up on the social media for Those Conspiracy Guys, so you can watch it on VidMe. So VidMe/Those Conspiracy Guys. That's where I'm putting up all the documentaries now for both of these shows, because YouTube takes them all down all the time.
Why?
Copyright stuff. DMCAs. But it's all automated. So with VidMe, we can put a few things up. But it just seems like this was overly squashed. And I think too much for them. It gave it too much merit. Which is why people went, why was it? Let's buy the DVD. And it may have, you know, proliferated that message through.
Talk about a backfire. And people
were like, oh, let's buy it on DVD then. Made $9 million on DVD sales. That's a lot of DVDs.
That's
the
bone, given that 500 grand is all they made on the box office. Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, talk about just,
it's mad. So a thing we like to do on White Press Play is called the alternative cast.
Yeah.
So we've gone through a lot of the favourite parts. We both have favourite parts of the movie. There is so much more. Like, you'd watch this, I'd say, 5 times and you'd get everything. You'd have to watch it five times.
Yeah.
There's like loads of extra little bits. Like, you know, they're always searching for the time machine. And there's loads of extra.
Yeah. I do love the bit about Starbucks where he says, God, I could use a Starbucks right now. And it's like, the last thing we need, Joe, is a hand jobs.
And you know, find out that Starbucks in 500 years has evolved into some kind of a massage parlor situation. Like, and you get a latte with a happy ending.
Yeah.
Like a flat white, whatever.
Like, I fucking love it. Again, idiot. What do you have to do for Starbucks? Because Starbucks step in there and go, hey, whoa, you just used a branding there. Or is there a cool person in Starbucks going, go on.
To be honest, I'd say that's why it was censored like that and put down to such a, because there's loads of like Food Ruckers.
Yeah, Food Ruckers is a thing.
Do you know Burger King? They had Carl's Jr. There was a whole thing. Guy in the Oval Office was like, every time I say Carl's Jr. I get paid. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yeah, at the end of every sentence, it's just brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Like, do Carl's Jr. have to say it?
I don't know. I wonder, because like, if you had a level, I suppose, well, whatever level of integrity, would you do the safety and you know, self jump in there? Because Starbucks would have the money and the power
to sue the living shit out of you. Even now, like, there's like defamatory court cases about people, like, you know, wearing a certain clothes or whatever, or like with the Charlottesville Nazi marches and stuff, that the company who make tiki torches, like the tiki torch company, had to come out with a statement and say, we in no way affiliate with this political ideology.
The Polynesian
party light, and the lads took it just because it's easier than fucking pitchforks or you know, and they had to make a statement going like, stop buying our tiki torches.
That's hilarious.
Like, that has to be done now.
That's And Jesus Christ, like,
the way Idiocracy went was a little bit more normal.
Yeah, I get you.
Because
if this
goes on the way it's going now, it's going into something completely alternate altogether.
Like a
very, very like PC and controlled speech environment, or like thought police and wrong think is what they're calling us. Yeah, that's what they're calling it. So we do a thing here called alternative casting. For the main characters in the movie, Tom.
Yeah.
Who would you have? What other actor would you have to play Joe? To keep to change the movie, to make it better, to maybe have somebody different or something somebody that could bring something different to the movie. Who else would you have to play? I have Joe, Rita, President Camacho, and Frito. They're the main characters.
As far as Joe goes, I suppose there's an awful lot of humor out of him. Sure, there's not.
He's the foil, like he's the straight man compared to the the ridiculousness that he's put in.
Yeah.
So you need someone who's able to play a good straight man.
But then again, do you though? Because do you remember what was his name? Martin Lawrence went back in time.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that in
Black Knight or
Black
something?
Knight? Yeah. I kind of liked the fact he was like, damn, you know what I mean, nonstop with everything. Like,
but that's because the situation he was in was normal. I suppose. And he was the ridiculousness.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gone with anybody really, but I like of the same name, I like Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
I like Owen Wilson, I think, would have, just because he has a bit of a goofy face too with the busted
or
nose.
Or a Ben Stiller or a kind of crowd.
But Ben Stiller kind of gives me heartburn just looking at him these days, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. It was since that Walter Mitty thing,
I really love that movie.
Did you?
I
got
really
stressed
that
out.
Movie.
I would have taken that movie with anybody bar him. I don't know what it is. And I hate
it's the same as Along Came Polly though. It's the same.
Yeah.
He's trying not to be funny, but then you still see him trying behind his eyes. He's still trying to go.
Oh, he is for sure. Like
a mega fire joke or whatever. I had down for my alternative cast for Joe, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Would
yeah,
play
yeah,
a good
yeah.
straight man compared like to the Panic, and he has those kind of like bug out eyes.
He's
more than average. I think it has to be really like, I'm really average, you know. Luke Wilson, you know, come on. Like, it has to be.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why, like, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal can look a bit too much like a Marine, you know what I mean? He can look the part of hard man. Like,
I've seen him in a lot of stuff. I went on the Jake Gyllenhaal bent for a month during the summer, and Claire and I watched a bunch of movies like Source Code, Demolition. What's the one where he plays a cop?
Where he's carrying the camera everywhere with him. Is that the one?
Oh, no. Nightcrawler, fucking class. No, there's one where he has like a Mexican partner.
Yeah, sorry, that's the one. But isn't he videoing everything in that as well? Because he's making some sort of documentary or something, isn't he?
Yeah, End of Watch.
End of Watch,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, he is so good, man. He's banging them out. But none of them are blockbusters. None of them are international super hits.
Yeah.
But you could go back and go, that's a solid film. So Jake could bring a bit of,
I agree,
you know, solid Gyllenhaal-iness.
But then he'd nearly, you know what I mean, he'd be nearly like a pair of Gucci shoes and a pair of a pair of Aldi trousers, you know. He'd be nearly too strong for what it'd be, what well, it'd be around him, you know what I mean?
He wasn't that.
Well, yeah, big, well, yeah, in 2006 he wasn't like.
Another one I had was Ryan Reynolds.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds would be that good straight man because he's the Van Wilder style. Everything is ridiculous around me, but yet I'm the focus of everything.
But it's his
ridiculous.
Little commentary lines at the taglines that he stamps on the end of every paragraph. Like.
I think Luke Wilson was a little bit dry in it, to be honest.
He was. Like, you're looking at him going, Luke, to get anybody to do that, you could almost throw in anybody and they would have done better. Not that he's a bad actor, but it's like...
Somebody has to be a little bit sardonic, a little bit, like, cynical. I had Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah.
Harry Connick Jr. from Little Man Tate. That character that he plays in that, which is like a cool guy who has a veneer of cool on the outside, but like has a heart of gold. So I didn't believe that Luke Wilson really wanted to save the future until like the last 2 minutes when he started to properly act.
Who I looked at it and thought would be, because I'm a fan of him, is McBride. Danny McBride.
Brilliant.
He would have done it, wouldn't he?
That's brilliant. Yeah. Danny McBride would be really good
because
at that.
I mean, in real life,
he can react to ridiculousness really well.
But also Franco would have done well too. I know the two boys are shit hot together, but there's something about Danny McBride that he can sell this kind of shit bloke image in the real world. But
I loved him in Alien Covenant. He saved that film for
me. Yeah,
I
did. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
So for Rita then, the prostitute played by Maya Rudolph, who could have, we're talking about like funny women, but someone to make more of an impact. Like Maya Rudolph's real good. She's great in Bridesmaid, still second fiddle. She's great in the Anchorman. Did you ever watch the other Anchorman movie?
The new one?
No. There's like a Anchorman 1.5, I guess you'd call it.
Oh, I heard. I didn't see it. No.
Put together from extra scenes. Like she's one of the main characters in that and is brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know, she left a big enough impression on me in this film.
Yeah, I mean... Like,
but I think that was maybe not her, I think it was maybe the writing.
The storyline around it, the upgrade thing was completely... Yeah. Like, there was
superfluous.
No there was no need in it at all. Would Christina Applegate, I mean, she's strong, all right, but I...
Yeah, I
would you be believable as a
prostitute,
as a hua?
I put down, Leslie Mann.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
she's strong,
God.
Sassy.
Yeah,
like she would be.
You need some actor to level the playing field there. Like she quite physically would take over the entire. Like she's a big woman. woman, like, you know what I mean?
I'd have Anna Faris.
Yeah.
She's excellent.
Yeah, she has
goofiness, like
yeah.
The Scary Movie franchise is like on her back. I think she did way better than the Wayans brothers in that even.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, who's she married to again?
Chris Pratt. Not anymore. They're separated.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
She's unqualified at the moment.
She would have been. She would have been very good in that. All right.
I think so. Or Jennifer Lawrence for her comedy chops, because she's very good as a comedy actress. I think her as a prostitute is slightly unbelievable, but
yeah.
I mean, Julia Roberts did play a prostitute, and we kind of believed it, you know.
Yeah, but you forgot she was a prostitute inside like 5 minutes. You're
yeah.
I wish I was her.
I love that sketch. There's like a YouTube video about what would really happen in Pretty Woman, and the movie is like 2.5 minutes long.
Yeah,
because she turns around and starts talking, and he just puts his fingers on her lips and goes, "Get the fuck out." which is what would really happen in real life. So President Camacho, who could take over from Terry Crews and his machine gun touting
again? I think Danny McBride could actually
Wild cunt.
Yeah, a mad fucker. What I mean?
I had along the lines of like the overzealous black comedian. I had Kevin Hart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the fact that he was a wrestler.
But you could change that. That was to match Terry Crews' body style.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so like over the top and like his bulbous muscles and stuff.
Well, Ving Rhames I think would have been fairly cool because he's just such a badass, like, you know, a terrifying. What, Terry Crews is a silly goofy clown, and I know that's what the movie was, but imagine Ving Rhames going, "Hey, motherfucker."
Yeah, if it was real dark, you could have like a Ving Rhames, or I think the antithesis of that character would be like a John Malkovich, like a very
serious.
I think the whole thing is that he's a celebrity, he's a buffoon.
Yeah,
and Kevin Hart does loud, kind of brash buffoonery over the top stuff. And then if you have Kevin Hart, you obviously have to have his now, I think, movie partner or whatever, Will Ferrell.
Oh yeah, for God's sake.
Will Ferrell would have been really good as that, like, come on, like this.
But I would have given
Zach Galifianakis, someone like who's way over the top, you know.
I would have given him like heavy makeup and a lot of costume, because you don't want to see Step Brothers with him, you know what I mean? Yeah. You want to see basically what he was in Eastbound and Down. Do you remember when he played Ashley Schaefer?
Oh yeah, a bluish hue.
BMW.
My balls.
Ashley Schaefer, BMW. See the huge glue.
But this is 2006, so think of like Ferrell in 2006, like peak of his game, you know. Old School. That's
right.
Around that time,
Will
Ferrell, like.
Actually, do you know who would
have. Where he's young and. Like, he only started acting in his 40s, you know.
Do you know who would have actually made a good Joe? Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn in Old School. Yeah.
He would have nailed that part as Joe, wouldn't he?
Very much so. He has that sardonic kind
of
carry on.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't give a shit, but I kind of do a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, deadly.
Like when he played Fred Claus.
I had... fucking... Fred. That's so shit and good. And for Frito, because I don't like Dax Shepard, I have down here literally anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you like Dax Shepard?
Just, like, he's... Like, why is he, like...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's... I don't feel he's bringing that. Like, obviously he knows people. He has connections. He has some kind of talent.
Do you know that ridiculously skinny lad? He's ludicrously skinny.
Yes, and he's in Road Trip.
Yes, and he had the waffles that were... What's
up
his,
your man's arse.
Yeah, up his arse and down the front of his jock.
DJ Qualls is his name.
DJ Qualls.
Let Ron handle this, honey. Like
yeah.
That,
Yeah,
he would have been... are you saying him for Joe?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Oh, he's too weedy. I think Joe needs to be like a kind of... He used to play football in high school kind of thing. DJ Qualls is a real good like supporting actor, but I haven't seen it.
Would you put him as Frito then?
As Frito, yeah. Maybe. I like anybody but Dax Shepard being too retarded. He was talking about like this, like that, man. And you're like, there's no need for that, man.
Yeah, he'd
never go full retard.
He slabbered it on a bit too much. I don't think he has a reverse gear on that. I think it's just like, this is what you're playing, grand. And he just went heavy at the retard.
Do you, like, speaking about Road Trip, you supported Tom Green on tour, right?
Yeah.
What is he like in real life? Is he actually like, Daddy, would you like some sausage?
No. Not at all. He's actually a very sound bloke. Like,
has he slowed down in his old age? Maybe he was weird.
Maybe. He's definitely was.
I remember smoking, like, in the middle of the night, like, smoking loads of joints and watching the Tom Green show on TV, like...
It was a bit, trust me, it was a bit weird looking in the rearview mirror and he's sitting in the back of my car, like...
Yeah.
So it was...
Did he try and freak out anyway? Did he try any weird
no,
shit?
No, like? I think he was a small bit... In fairness, he was very complimentary about my stand-up.
Cool.
But he was like,
I wouldn't have put your style of stand up and his style of stand up together.
No, his stand up There's no missing.
No, but I mean your style and what I've seen of him.
It was probably a lot to do with it. I'd have a clean driver's license too.
But there's a lot of dirty drivers around. But like Tom Green, like...
You haven't seen me in a long time though. My stuff is fairly high aggression these days though.
Yeah, is it like frenetic?
Yeah,
like
there's okay. There's a few points where people are like, oh jeez. Like, you know what I mean? There's a few... There's,
okay, well, we might take a TCG trip with
we'll hang out.
To see you doing the show, let people know. So another thing we do on White Press Play is the best supporting. And this is... It's kind of to you know, give accolades to the more forgotten elements of a movie. So the bit parts, the one-liners, we already talked about the guy in Costco, which is like, well, Costco, I love you. Nice. Not uncredited, but like way down the list of credits. Like these people kind of make a movie, and these are the things like electrolytes. Like they're the things that you will take away from
absolutely,
the movie and use in your everyday lexicon.
Oh, yeah. It was a minister for education.
Yeah.
It just, his, the look, where they found that guy, the look on his face.
Yeah.
It just, you can't even cross your eyes like this guy can cross his eyes. There's something. And that the kid that won, he won the prize to become Minister of Defence or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Where did they find a kid with that face?
The Minister of Defence, the Secretary of Defence was Anthony Campos. The actor,
right.
Anthony Campos. And I looked that guy up because he was my, one of my top two. Like one of my favorites. He got super, super fit. He is like super wrestly, muscly guy now. On the thing, he's like super fat, like, frijoles eating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, big double chin arse neck.
Jesus Christ, you could never see that man coming back from
he
that.
Looks like, he looks like...
You're joking me.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Yeah, I swear to God. Look him up. Anthony Campos, who plays... And he's like...
But he's the most bombed out of it. Like, he looks wrecked, that guy does. Like,
he must have gone like obese a year to save my life or something like that.
Incredible.
He pulled it together, man. And my... the ultimate one that you would forget about, and it's another actor from Waiting, and it's probably from that group of mates, like, because all these guys like Office Space and Mike Judge and all, you know, the way these guys come together, like the Rogan and Franco group,
they all band together and they had the same
buddies.
And your man who played the doctor in it, what's his name again?
That's him, Justin Long.
Yeah.
He plays a doctor after the woman presses the button and Average Joe comes in and they find out that he hasn't got a tattoo and it starts a big alarm. He's also the gay porno guy from Zach and Mary Make a Porno with the deep voice. He was in Jeepers Creepers. He was in Die Hard 4. He was in Funny People.
Yeah.
He played Brandon in Galaxy Quest and he was in Waiting and he was like the starring role. Like he was the main character in Waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
He is fucking brilliant. And I don't know why... He hasn't got that star quality.
No, he doesn't.
And he hasn't had like a leading role since Waiting, which is like early 2000s. Like, why is he not more famous?
Because he's shown his wares. Like, he can really act. And it's not like
a huge range.
They're not pigeonholing him like they pigeonhole the typical skinny guy, like DJ or whatever. They don't, you know what I mean? He's done everything.
Yeah.
But what can he do?
Horror, action, comedy. Like, he's got chops.
Yeah, you have to say, that's a really well made point. It's like, what has the guy got to do?
Yeah. I really like Justin Long. I wonder, like, has he got something else on the side? Does he have, like, a podcast or, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has a YouTube channel. And it's about like short or small movie makers or short movies.
Oh, right. What, a bit like Anthony Bourdain going around the place and just...
No, he supports and funds people making short films.
No way.
And he has like make a short film. There's even a TV show on Netflix where he gets people, like, they all come together and they show their short films. And
Dragon's Den for...
Kind of, yeah. But he helps fund all these things because when he was in... he went to college, like studied film and all, but when he was in Third Rock from the Sun, he was squirreling all his money away.
Cute whore.
And he made a production company and they facilitated all of this stuff. So like maybe Justin Long has something like that in the background. I'd love to know, but I can't really find that online about it.
Oh, I tell you.
What is he doing? Like, is he producing?
Matthew
McConaughey
has a forestry business. Do you know what I mean? All these fellas have good backups, like, because his brother has a chainsaw company, like, and he got into the forestry business then.
Wow.
So all these fellas have fallbacks if they decide to go fuck it in the morning. Like, I guarantee you, he can't be a complete gobshite. I bet you he owns a pub somewhere or something.
He has something going on.
Guarantee
Justin Long, if you're listening, let us know. Or
yeah,
if anyone
knows
what the crack is, I'd love to know. He's like, one of the best moments in this film is the whole, hey, bro, come on, you're like...
And I was like,
you know,
and he's just smoking a big fat joint,
really
just sitting
good,
there
man.
Like...
So funny. So that's nearly it then for Idiocracy. Tom, like, have you got a best supporting actor?
We spoke about her earlier. I think it was boobs.
Boobs, right.
Yeah, because her facial expressions, she's just so dim looking. And the woman must be into, you know what I mean? Because she's such a good actor.
Yeah.
She can tell so much. Her face is just like, electrolytes. You know, it's just, it cracks me up every time I see her.
Yeah.
She just so goofy looking, like.
So I'd be calling your lady. I'd just be like, hey, boobs.
Yeah.
Like, no, she'd probably hit me a dig in the head.
Yeah, she's a proper lady. She'd send for somebody to smash you over there.
Giles, could you the £4, use the £6 hammer. another one that I thought was quite funny and didn't say any words and is really like one of the lowest down on the credits.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know who he was. And when you find out, Tom, you're going to be surprised.
What?
Was the guy called Beef Supreme, who was like the gladiator at the end.
How did I forget about him?
He's fucking cool, right?
I love when he's kind of gone, he's baiting the audience. Ooh, like,
yeah, it's very wrestling type stuff. And he has like a flamethrower and he's trying to, because Joe gets punished for, ruining the crops or whatever. Mm. We don't want to ruin the end of the movie for you, so go and watch it. It might be the only thing that would get you through to the end is not knowing what happens at the end of it. But do you know that guy, like, class and all as he was, he looks class, he looks great, he has a great
Beef
beard.
Beef Supreme, what a great
Beef
name.
Beef Supreme. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the other Wilson brother.
Get out of town.
Luke Owen and this fucking guy. He's the other Wilson brother.
Your joke. What's his full name? Willie Wilson. he's just PJ Wilson. He's your man. He's got a wheelbarrow factory back home in Iowa. And every so often the lads get him an old gig. Am I right? It's a wheelbarrow factory, isn't it?
I'm going to set it out.
No acting needed. Just act the maggot.
Andrew Wilson is the other Wilson brother.
Really?
That's him, yeah.
Wow. Wonder what he does.
I know.
When he's not acting. Because, I mean, he didn't even give him any lines in this
No,
one.
Nothing. He just like grow a beard and just come out.
He's got the flamethrower.
Flex your muscles.
Yeah, but I suppose
he must work at something at home.
No, maybe. I guarantee you, he's got something going on. He's
working at the chainsaw factory.
He's got the chainsaw.
Yeah, McConaughey.
McConaughey's after hooking up with him. He does all the spark plugs. Yeah. Some obscure thing like this. Yeah. Wilson. Maybe he's tied in with the sports crowd. Maybe he makes.
He's the guy who made the
makes
balls.
Volleyballs. Yeah,
That's it. No, it's strange to know that he's the other brother.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Just like my brother's doing nothing for the weekend. Can he be? And that final scene as well, the special effects are not the best.
They're not the greatest.
They have aged in 2006. But in fairness, they were only expecting to get, you know, 500,000 in the cinema.
Exactly. So yeah,
made money back on it anyway. So that's it for White Press Play for this time. And that's it for Idiocracy, directed by Mike Judge. I'd just like to say thanks to Tom. Thanks, Tom, for joining us for
welcome.
Idiocracy.
This is delightful.
It's a fucking weird movie.
I know, and that's why I picked it. I mean, because I knew you'd be the man to be able to talk weird shit.
It has a lot of poignancy. If you were to give one reason why people should watch this, what would it be?
Because everybody needs a moment in the week where they shut off their brain.
Good. That's a nice message. My reason would be to get to see, count how many times they say fag in the movie and revel in the fact that a movie can be made where they can say that and have people not be completely outraged.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous
film.
Yeah.
And if you're into a bit of ridiculous, this is probably the best one. If you want to get in touch with us about anything that we said on the show, or you want to correct us or inform us, we asked a couple of questions there of you. You can get onto Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And Reddit, we have a subreddit there, r/YPressPlay. We also have the Discord server, so you can get the link for that on our website or on any of our social medias. Come in and join us. You'd be more likely to get a reply from the Discord, to be honest. And thanks to all the people at patreon.com who are supporting the show, Christine, Paul, Jonathan, and all the rest of you guys. That's patreon.com/YPressPlay. You get loads of behind the scenes stuff and you get notifications of the different shows and different videos and stuff. We also have live shows from Twitch and YouTube. And we use rab.it or Rabbit to live watch some of these movies. So when we're preparing for these, like for example, the guys were watching Idiocracy live while I was watching it, and we can have the crack over there. And if you haven't got any of those things, if you're allergic to social media, but you still do the emails, the electronic mails, info@ypressplay.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review in iTunes. I don't really care, but iTunes seem to like it, and we want to see it up on the charts so that other people can find it. Recommend it to your friends or, you know, people that you know.
Just be sound. Just be sound.
Just be sound about it. Mm. And you can find Tom online.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter.
On Twitter, Tom_O'Mahony.
Tom underscore.
Without D. A lot of people.
Mahoney.
Mahoney, yeah.
And you have a podcast as Bookshot.
Bookshot Pod. You will find it on Twitter also.
And you have
Instagram.
A website on the way.
On the way, yeah. Surely. Find me on Instagram, Facebook. Just look, Tom O'Mahony Comic would Tom show O'Mahony. Up pretty much everywhere.
Well, I'm going to put all the links for that down in the description
Delicious.
Of the show below, so you can click on it. If you don't know how to spell Mahoney,
M-A-H-O-N-Y.
O-N-Y. And yeah, if you don't know how to spell Mahoney, you're probably getting ready for the Idiocracy.
It's
I
a
think,
really
right?
easy name. They gave me a name that
Let you like.
My first name is my initials. Do you know what I mean? They weren't expecting much from me.
Yeah.
They really weren't.
They saw him coming out and going, she's making something easy.
Making something easy.
Not more than 3 letters. So thanks very much, Tom. And thanks very much for you for listening. This is Why Press Play. Goodbye.